This is Living the RV Dream, episode 66 for Friday, August 3rd, 2018.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, and welcome one more time. Happy Friday, and welcome to another edition of Living the RV Dream, the Free in My RV podcast. And it's great to be here again. I hope you guys enjoyed the last week's episode, in which we had John and Kathy Huggins once again here on the podcast. And it was great talking to them. It was great hearing their voices, see how well Kathy is doing health-wise. And of course, it's always great to talk to John and Kathy. They always have such a positive attitude. And if you're old school, you know, like me, I mean, I'm not old school, but I started listening to podcasts about RVing a while ago. You know, they were like the voice of RVing for many, many years. And I certainly learned a lot from them, as I'm sure a lot of you have, from their website, livingthervdream.com as well. As well as from his book, So You Want to Be an RVer. That was one of the first books that I bought about RVing. That one and Long, Long Honeymoon and Meandering Down the Highway. And, you know, books like about 10 years ago, those were the main books. Some things have changed, but the basics are still the same. You know, some things like Internet on the Road and things like that have changed a lot in the past 10 years. But a lot of other stuff, technology-wise, is still the same. You know, battery technology has improved. A lot more RVs are starting to come with lithium batteries, at the very least AGMs. And if I sound a little weird today, you know, I'm having technical difficulties, and this is going to be, and I'm going on a tangent here, but I just realized what's going on. My studio computer is kind of on live support right now, and that's really a bummer. Not only because the podcast I can produce pretty much on any machine, but in order to compose music, it is going to be a problem. And I have one more tune to compose for my European series coming up. I wanted to compose a tune about Norway, which is you know, one of the countries that I visited last month, or actually the month before. Can you believe we're already in August? It's like the summer's nearly over. I leave for my northeast road trip in about a month, but yeah, it's gonna be difficult to record music. I'm gonna have to eventually buy some hardware, and the problem is that this computer that I use for the music is very old. And if any of you are Mac experts, let me know what you think. I mean, this computer is running Snow Leopard, which is probably a 7-year-old operating system. And if I upgrade to the latest operating system, a lot of my legacy hardware, like the interface that I use to connect my microphones to the computer and all that, that won't work. So I either have to find a way to revive this computer or buy new hardware. So we'll see. Anyways, today is going to be mostly your mail, because I have a bunch of messages. And the first one comes from Teresa Baker. Congratulations on 50,000 subscribers on YouTube channel. Well deserved. We have enjoyed all of your fantastic videos and look forward to many more. You are a talented storyteller, and it's always a pleasure. Well, thank you so much, Teresa. We are heading out on the road as we retire in just a few weeks, and we have actually been full-time in our Redwood 42-foot fifth wheel for the last 4 years. So that's a big one. Traveling as much as possible, but now we can finally be nomads. Our dreams are finally coming true. Your videos have been a huge inspiration in our planning over the years. We would love to have you share some of your resources and processes you use as you plan to visit to a location, because you seem to cover it so thoroughly and are able to see the highlights. Great food, great attractions, and history. We want to be able to enjoy our travels much like you do. Keep up the great work, Ted and Teresa in Southwest Washington State. And there's a bunch of of resources that I use online and offline. And let me tell you, online, the first one is the one, the main one is Google. You know, if you want to know something about a place, just you Google it. That's the obvious one, right? And then you get the Wikipedia article, and you get the, usually if you Google the name of a city, you will get the Wikipedia article and the city's website. But if you go down a little more, you're going to, in the results, there's TripAdvisor, there's a Lonely Planet. There's this website that is very, it's not very well known. It's called Wikivoyage. And Wikivoyages will tell you information about many destinations, how to get there, what to eat, how to get around, the main points of interest, and even safety tips and stuff. So that's a good website. To plan the trip, of course, I use Google Maps. If you have a big rig like yours, I would get something supplemental like a dedicated RV GPS unit, because if you are more than 10, 11, 12 feet, yeah, you need that, and your fiber is probably in the 13 feet tall range, and being so long, you don't want to be stuck in a small road with switchbacks and stuff like that. So yeah, get an RV, truck RV dedicated GPS. And then when that GPS gives you an estimate, you have to add 50%. Like if it is 4 hours, it usually takes six. And, you know, and you do the math, because I don't drive 4 hours straight. So if you stop already, it's incredible the amount of time you waste just by stopping and going to the bathroom. And God forbid, if you have to eat, forget it. You waste an hour. And then the most GPSs are calibrated for the speed limit of the highway. So if, for example, if you're driving I-10 in Texas, that is 80 miles per hour speed limit, which means that most people drive 90, and you're towing at 65, you're going to take a lot longer than the GPS tells you. So that's one tool to plan the journey, to plan the ETA. Do not trust the ETA that the GPS gives you. Another website and app, the app is not that great, but the website is roadtrippers.com. And in the great thing about this website, you say, I want to drive from Miami to Chicago. You type that, and it'll give you like the fastest route. You can select avoid highways, you can select avoid tolls, you know, just like with Google Maps. And then what you can select is, I want attractions within 10 miles of my route, and then you can select what type of attractions you want, because maybe you don't care about theaters, or you don't care about museums, so you select only what you're interested at, and it will give you icons on the route of all the points of interest, things that you should see along the route, and you can select how many miles from your planned route you want to detour. And I think that's a great tool to find places of the beaten path, locations and places along the route. Now, another thing that I use a lot, and this is, I think I overuse it, is in Google Maps, saved places. Whenever I hear about a nice place, so something that somebody mentions, and I think, it would be cool to go there. There, if you are logged in to with your Google ID, you can click on the place and save it, and save it to your saved places. I think there are like three categories: places to visit, places I have visited, and places just saved. And that is a great resource combined with the next one that I'm going to mention, which is Google Trips. This is an app that I just discovered not long ago. But it's really good, and if you live a connected life like I do, if for example if I make a reservation at a campground, and that reservation I do it with my Gmail account, automatically it will show up in my Google Trips app, which is kind of creepy in the way your privacy is kind of not private anymore, but that's the world we live in. There's very little we can do nowadays to remain truly private, unless you stay offline, which at this point it's almost not an option. Well, this Google Trips apps will give you the points of interest, but it will also Well, also, to those points of interest that the app thinks are good, are of interest, it'll add your saved places. So you can see all of them in a map, or you can, you know, go by list and categories, and it'll show you points of interest, places to eat, all kinds of different attractions. It's actually a pretty good app. I can't wait to test it for the first time in my upcoming trip, in which I'm going to... And probably in the next episode, I'm going to give you a more detailed route, because I'm going to try to do a couple of meetups, at least for sure, one at the Hershey RV show, which I'm going to be visiting. But maybe I'll do a Central Florida one, and one maybe in the Carolinas, one in Maine. We'll see. But anyways, those are the online map-based research tools that I use. Now, other research tools, podcasts. You have no idea how many useful podcasts there are out there about destinations. And one of my favorite ones is Amateur Traveler Podcast. And the good thing that the Amateur Traveler Podcast has, you can go to the website, to his website. His name is Chris Christensen. And you can search for a destination. And if he has a podcast about that destination, it's going to show up there. Keep in mind, he's been doing this podcast for over 10 years. So some of the episodes might be a little outdated. But for the most part, it's a great resource. And he usually interviews people, you know, who are either locals or people who have been working in these places for a long time. Sometimes it is the tourism board. But definitely check out that podcast. In his website, he also has a map with you know, pins, like on a Google map. And if you click on the pins and on one of the pins, it'll take you to the podcast episode. It's really cool. And I've used them to research a lot of cities. Like I remember Montreal and Quebec City in Canada. I did with that a little bit of London. I did with his podcast. So just listen to the podcast and take notes, basically. Also, of course, YouTube. And I'm a YouTuber and I do YouTube videos, but sometimes I rely on the resources of fellow YouTubers. If somebody has been to a particular place, you know, I try to see what they saw. And some things I care about, some things I don't. But for example, a bunch of YouTubers are now on their way to Alaska, RVing to Alaska. And that's something that I'm very interested in. I'm thinking 2020. I'll do it in 2020. So I'm taking notes. I'm right now taking notes from Paul and Lorena and Nate and Marisa and Mark and Trish. You know, and some of the things they do, I don't really care for, but a lot of them I do. So, you know, I'm taking notes. And when I go to Alaska, I am going to visit all those places. You know, and I have a compilation of all the different points of view from different people. There's also a lot of books. Is it by Ron? I'll put it in the... I'll look it up and put it in the show notes. There's a couple of very good books on RVing in Alaska. Well, I have Google in front of me. Why not use it, right? So I paused and looked it up. And the book is called, very aptly named, RVing to Alaska, by Ronald Jones. Ron Jones, he's one of the authorities in the RVing world. Maybe I'll interview him one of these days. Well, that's that. I've been going back and forth between online and offline, but now offline, you know, when you go to a place, go to the visitor center. There's usually so much information there. You can ask. If it's a national park, you can ask the rangers, and they're usually very nice folks in the visitor center. The same if you go into a state. I go into Georgia. The first thing I do, I just stop at the visitor center. You know, take a break, and you know, get a map or get brochures. Ask the rangers. They're not rangers. They're like. You know, the ladies and gentlemen that work at the visitor center, you ask them, you know, what's good to visit in the area, because they're locals, they're from the state. Like if you come to Florida, stop at the visitor center and get some orange juice. They give you free orange juice, and there's like all kinds of information. about everything, even the Florida Keys, which is like very far away if you come into Florida. No matter where you come into Florida, the Florida Keys are far away because it's... But I digress. Anyway, also, offline, guidebooks. Guidebooks, I've used guidebooks a lot, even though I'm really an online kind of person. Sometimes nothing beats a guidebook written by someone who, for lack of a better word, know that what they're doing. So I've used Moon Guides, I've used Lonely Planets. If I'm going to Europe, I usually rely on Rick Steves. He seems to be very reliable when it comes to information about Europe. And I use a combination of all these things. And of course, guidebook websites. And I'm not a great fan of TripAdvisor because the site is kind of messy and it has a lot of advertisement. And sometimes it's hard to get to what you want to do. But they have very good top 10 lists of what to do at a place. So that's the online analog of a guidebook. Now, for RV specific, like places to stay, the number one is still Allstays, Park and Camp and RV, and it doesn't seem to be as complete or as updated as it used to be, but it's still the number one app. It lists 99% of the places where you can stay, so that's a good one. It's not free. It says the app is what, $6 or something like that, but it's totally worth it because of the information, and it works offline. Now, if you are frugal or you are at a place where there's a lot of free camping, freecampsites.net is the website. You know, it lists a lot of places where you can camp for free. Basically, it's usually dry camping, of course, but if you're into that, especially out west, there's so much BLM land and forest land and places where you can pretty much stay for free as long as your battery and your holding tanks hold, you're good. Then if you to find dump stations, Sunny Dumps is the app. I don't think it works anymore on Android. I'm not sure about iOS, iPhone, but it's really good because it lists most of the places where you can just dump, you know, especially when I'm coming home and I don't want to, you know, dump at a place, drive 6 hours, because I may want to use my bathroom during the 6 hours that I'm driving home. I usually look for a dump station relatively close to Miami. There's nothing really close to Miami, but relatively close, and then I dump there. So those are pretty much, for the most part, the resources that I use to plan my trips. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of them, but those are the main ones for sure. Sometimes I choose on my GPS avoid highways just so I can, you know, get on the secondary roads and you know, and drive through small towns. I don't know if you want to do that if you have a very big rig, but with my 19-footer, it's usually fine. Okay, that was a long answer to a long email from Teresa Baker. And now we continue with Orestes. And Orestes says, he actually sent me this email a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't want to spoil the surprise. He says, just wanted to say I really enjoy your videos and they have made me really look forward to finally going out and camping in my RV. We'll be heading to Key West next weekend on our maiden voyage. And I'll even be proposing to my girlfriend that weekend. Keep the vids, video, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Keep the great videos coming. Thanks, Orestes. And Orestes, congratulations, man. I hope she said yes. And congratulations on your maiden voyage. Maiden voyage is always so exciting. It certainly was for us. We went to the Corrishan Historic State Park in Estero, Florida. We bought it in Fort Myers. So this was like, half an hour drive or something like that. And had a great time. Okay, from Tyson, Stacy, Rusty, and Spencer Craig. Hello, Robert, my family, and I am enjoying watching your We Missed Our Flight video. We are thinking of camping in the Keys next March and try to book the Sugarloaf Key KOA, but it remains closed after the impact of Irma. Could you please recommend a campground somewhere between Homestead and Key West? I know this is your home turf, and who better to ask this, aren't you? Thanks, I love your work. Just enjoyed a High Ally IPA the other day, my last one, and you can't get that in Canada. So from London, Ontario, Tyson, Stacy, Rusty, and Spencer, and well, there are so many campgrounds between Homestead and Key West. Not as many as there used to be, but and to be honest, I don't consider myself the great expert, because usually we like one campground that we've been like repeating that campground, and that is, it's expensive. It's, you're a little, you know, close to each other, but it's Boyd's Campground, and that's like the closest civilian campground to Key West, and it is open. Actually, we're staying there next weekend, and it is a good campground. You are almost walking distance to Key West. I mean, you can ride a bicycle for sure, or you know, it's like a mile away from the sign that says "Welcome to Paradise," something like that. So it is a great location, and I recommend it, especially if you can get a waterfront site. It's amazing. It's so relaxing. Then there's one called Blue Water. It's equally expensive. And even you have your own private tiki bar at your site. But I haven't been able to go there because I think they have a minimum of 25-foot RV, and I'm 19. So that's that. My number one recommendation besides that is try to get into one of the state parks. And it's nearly impossible, but it can be done. And those are John Pennekamp State Park. And then a little further south, you have Curry Hammock State Park, Long Key State Park, and Bahia Honda State Park. Those are the four main state parks in the Florida Keys. And good luck making a reservation. But if you are one of the lucky few, yeah, you can get a... some of them are even full hookup. Like John Pennekamp is full hookup. It's like, and you know, Reserve America is, they say is 36, but it ends up being 46 after all the taxes and fees that they charge. But you know, it's the government. What can you? I would have recommended Point of View RV Resort, but they closed. They shut down. I would have recommended Night Ski, but they also closed. They're gonna make condominiums or bungalows or whatever, you know. Another one that they just opened up last year in Key Largo, and I hear is really good. It's very expensive too, and it's kind of small. I think it has like 20 sites. It's called Keys Palms RV Resort, but it's so well located. It's almost at the entrance to Key Largo, but you're within walking distance to Sundowners or the Caribbean Club, you know. So some of these places where you can go, you know, and have dinner overlooking the sunset, it's a thing. And you are relatively close by car to Jumpany Camp State Park and all the Key Largo attractions. If you want to go a little further down, they're partially open, and this one is called Sunshine Key RV Resort. It's in Bahia Honda Key, and this was to be like the largest RV resort in the Florida Keys. That one's pretty good. Seems to be pretty good. It's an anchor property. There's also the infamous Fiesta Key. I didn't have a good time there, but other people say it's okay. It's also an anchor property. So yeah, I've given you a few names here to think about, and if anybody has any other suggestions here for Tyson, Stacy, Rusty, and Spencer, shoot me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com, and I will pass it along to them and mention it in the next episode of the podcast. Next email, Stephen DiStefano. Hi, Robert. I've been following you and getting educated on RVing for the past year. I'm ready to purchase my RV. I like the Winnebago 1808 FBS. It has a slide out. I'm planning to tow with the Chevy Silverado 1500 with a V8 engine. Traveling with me will be my wife and a dog. My question is, are there any other manufacturers I should take a look at that the quality meets or exceeds Winnebago? And last, did you ever regret not going bigger? It's hard to recommend. There are many manufacturers. You know, the manufacturer quality varies. In the last RV show in Tampa, I saw a couple of travel trailers by Lance. And Lance usually makes truck campers, but they have a couple of travel trailers that were very, cleverly designed, in my opinion, like the way the batteries, you know, were located, and they had dual batteries, and I like them. So I suggest you take a look at those just before buying that 1808, just in case you like them better. I think they're very cool. Although I don't regret buying my Winnebago for the most part. I mean, it's not an Airstream in terms of build quality, but it's not bad. You know, it's almost 4 years old. I've taken it through some rough places, and it's holding up for the most part. Do I regret not going bigger? Not really. Maybe something with I would maybe wider, because my trailer is rather on the narrow side of things. It's 7 feet wide. Maybe I would have gone with an 8 feet wide. It's amazing what an extra foot can do. Like, you can have a walk around bed, that kind of thing. But besides that, it at the time and still is the only thing I can tow with my current vehicle, which is pushing it at that. So and it fits in my driveway, so that's I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it, and I've made so many modifications to it that I've made it a little more like home. Now, Harvey and Lainey, my wife and I are really enjoying your travels. We live up here in North Florida. Would love to have you come visit the reenactments. We are part of all over the state of Florida. We do the Second Seminole War history events. This will be early 1800s, mid 1850s. Hope to see you on the trail, and I would love to see that. You know, I wasn't born in this country, and I didn't study. I mean, I came in high school, basically, the beginning of high school. So I have certain gaps in American history. I've tried to learn as much as possible, but certain things like the Seminole War, I actually learned about it relatively recently when I went to the Dade Historic Site it's by Lakeland. And that's when I it picked my interest, and I started learning about it. So, yeah, definitely, I would love to see one of those reenactments, for sure. Kevin and Diana ask, did you recall the old West town near Tucson you visited in one of your YouTube videos? Wanna go there? Can't remember the name. We are headed to Southwest in a month. Looking forward to it based on your videos, which are great and appreciated, by the way. Thank you. And thank you. And on that particular trip, I visited two towns, and I already answered this person, by the way, by email. And the one that they were talking about is Goldfield, which is not original. It's reconstructed very close to the site of the original Goldfield town, but it's so well reconstructed, and the setting is so beautiful. I mean, it's quintessential Arizona, like you think you're in a Western movie with Superstition Mountain in the background and all the saguaro cacti. I mean, it's quintessential Arizona. It's east of Phoenix, east of Mesa. It's just east of Apache Junction, and yeah, definitely. I definitely want to go back to that area. Hopefully, early next year, we'll see. We want to go to the RTR, so we'll see how we take it from there. I would like to take an extended trip, and you know, because the last trip that I did, it was a little rushed, like everything I do. So I would like to stay a little longer. And actually, I also recommend another town which is closer to Tucson, which is Tombstone, and that's a little more original as for the location and a couple of the buildings. Of course, it's very commercialized, and it's fun to go there. Anyways, another one here from Saki Halabi. Hi again, Robert. Sorry to bother you. Do you have your music on Spotify and iTunes? It's very catchy. And glad you ask, because, yeah, all my music, if you watch my videos on YouTube, and the intro music for this podcast, it's everywhere. You search for music, just search for Robert Morales, M-O-R-A-L-E-S, and my results should be the first one that you see. And but if you're gonna buy it from CD Baby, because I get a little higher percentage if you buy it from CD Baby. Anyways, that's all I have for you this week. I'm gonna try and figure out what's wrong with this computer now, so next week it'll be an easier recording. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Free in my RV.